Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
Galatians chapter 3, if you would turn there, please. Galatians chapter 3. If you're looking it up on their phone or your tablet, I'm actually going to be reading out of the Passion Translation this morning, Galatians 3. We're going to read some of Galatians, the end of Galatians 3, starting with verse 23, and then we're going to jump into chapter 4. Do you know it's okay to do that? You could end one chapter and go right on to the next. I believe it's an okay thing. We're going to do it this morning. Galatians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Did you make it? Kinda? Are you finding it? Come on, let's stand together this morning. Let's honor the reading of the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let's let our hearts listen to the word as it's being read. Let's receive it in our spirit. Amen. Galatians 3, we're going to start with verse 23. So until the revelation of faith for salvation was released, the law was a jailer. It was holding us as prisoners under lock and key until faith, which was destined to be revealed, would set us free. The law becomes a gateway to lead us to the Messiah so that we would be saved by faith. But when faith comes, the law is no longer in force since we have already entered into life. You have all become true children of God by faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. Did you hear that? We have all become true children of God by faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. It was faith that immersed you in Jesus, the Anointed One, and now you are covered and clothed with His anointing. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew and non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ, with no distinction between us. And since you've been united to Jesus the Messiah, you are now Abraham's child and inherit all of the promises of the kingdom realm. How good is that? We have no idea what we have, y'all. We've inherited all of the promises, everything that comes with being a son and daughter of God. Chapter 4, starting with verse 1. In a similar way, God has promised our ancestors something better. But as long as an heir is a minor, he's not really much different than a servant, although he's the master over all of them. For until the time appointed by the father, when he comes of age, the child is under the domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate. So it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. But when that era came to an end and the time of fulfillment had come, here's Christmas, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the written law. Yet all of this was so that he would redeem and set free all those who were held hostage to the written law so that we would receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as children. Did you follow that? And so that we would know for sure that we are his true children. God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately. Some versions say, Abba, Father. It is my Father. You are our true Father. One more verse. Can you handle it? Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. Do you hear who we are this morning? Who we are? Father, we give you glory. Lord, we need your help this morning, Lord, to see these words as more than just words, but to see them as spirit and as life. God, that you have called us to a life, that you have provided a way and a life for us, God, and let it never be said of us. God, our prayer this morning is, God, that we are able to understand and that we're able to live the life you promised, not always on the outside looking in, feeling like we're on the outside looking in or that we're begging from a distance, but Father, we are true sons and daughters of the living God. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Come on and grab a seat. I've been wanting to share this word with you over the past few weeks. The past 2 weeks, they're just God had other plans in mind, and the ministry of the Lord that has taken place in this house over the last while. You know, Paul said, "I've come not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of God." And so, however God wants to demonstrate himself is what we should be yielded to. However God wants to demonstrate himself. I remember the account of the prophet who said he was having an experience with the Lord and there was lightning, but he wasn't in the lightning and there was thunder and he wasn't in the thunder and some of the things that you might expect for the Lord to be in, and then all of a sudden there was a whisper, and it was God in the whisper. And so however God chooses to demonstrate himself, that's what I'm for. That's what I'm after, however he wants to demonstrate. And so we need to have that understanding as we move together in a service. However God wants to speak, however he wants to move, that's what we're looking for. We want to be yielded to his Holy Spirit. I'm going to lay some quick foundation for this, and since it's been 3 weeks that this message has been building up, I have 18 pages, and so we're going to get through all 18 of those pages as fast as we can. Some of you are smiling. Some of you are giving me dirty looks. I'm not sure how to take that, so I'm just going to go and not look at anybody and just, we'll see what happens. Jesus, What we're seeing here in Galatians, what Jesus ultimately came to do is restore the relationship. The relationship. Did he deliver us by the stripes on his back from sickness and disease? Yes. Did he come to with his blood wash the world free of sin? Did he come that he may be the true Son of God, that he would dwell in fleshly form, and he would be the Lamb of God, the once for all sacrifice for all humanity, that whoever calls upon him be saved? Yes, 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 and yes. And ultimately, all of that was for what? To restore relationship between God and between man. To restore that relationship. With him is the key to this life. If we have him and nothing else, we have everything. And it's this relationship thing that God has been so impressing upon my heart, because it is relationship. You know, this last week, my family and I, my mom and I, my sister Angela, we had to make a trip to Texas. My Grammy, 92 years old, she passed away. She passed away last Sunday. And so we went down to Texas, a whirlwind trip, and we honored her. I want to thank you, church, for all those who were praying and lifting us up. Thank you for your support. And there was emotion to it. Of course there was, but my goodness, it was easy to honor a woman of God who has led our family the way that she has. It was an easy thing to do. The hard part was finding out how are we going to fit all this into one service, into one moment, one gathering. Man, what an incredible testimony to have. She passed away. Maybe many of you heard. I don't know if you ever heard of a man by the name of Reinhard Bonnke, but he passed away. Look up Reinhard Bonnke on YouTube or Google him, and he was a tremendous servant of the Lord. He held ministry, revival services. Countless people You want to talk about a Billy Graham, this guy, the tens and hundreds of thousands of people. You'll see pictures. Just look it up. You'll see pictures of the man standing on a platform and literally an ocean of people as far as the eye can see of people that would show up, be saved, healed, delivered in these crusades and in these revivals. Why am I bringing this up? Even with my Grammy, those who have passed on, the reason why that is significant is because of relationship. It is relationship. The relationship in the church in America needs fixing. Our relationship with the Lord needs fixing. I believe God is preparing us. I believe He's bringing us into the greatest harvest and demonstration of His glory than we've seen in our lifetime. I believe there's a type of reformation that is coming to the American church as a whole, but I believe that is by way of relationship and not by a way of program or religion. See, I'm already done with a page and a half. See? We're moving. How we see the Father, and we see some of this in Galatians, what are you saying? It's not just about how we see us, it's how we see the Father, because how we see the Father is primary, because how we see Him will determine how we see ourselves. Seeing Him right has everything to do with seeing ourselves right. Seeing the Father is primary. Why? Because the identity is always determined by the Father. Did you know that? Quick biology lesson. The identity is always determined by the Father. When a child is conceived, that identity is always confirmed. Whether it was going to be a male or female, that identity is brought about by the Father. And so come from Him. And if we don't see Him right, there's no way we can see ourselves right. That identity. So quick biology lesson for all the teachers in here. You know what I think? I think every subject is theology. Every single subject is theology. It's all a study of God. But Jesus came to show the Father. The kingdom is like a father and son. The kingdom is like, it's a relationship. And I believe in order for us to have freedom in our life, there must be more than just religious responsibility. Religion is a bondage. Relationship is a bonding. Religion seeks to bind us into, although good, remember the law was good. This is what we're reading in Galatians. The law was good. It had its purpose, but it was fulfilled through Jesus coming to show us what the law was really like. The law was written as a law of love, but until we saw Jesus live out the love, we couldn't connect the dots. So we had to have the Son of God display that love. No greater love has any man than this, than a man who's willing to lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. Religion is built to disconnect us from the Father. Relationship is built to connect us to the Father. And I just want to keep making this comparison this morning between the religion and the relationship. Religion says God is always at a distance. Relationship says God is as close as the mention of His name. Religion is the attempt to create and maintain a form, which is an idol. Religion is an idol. It's holding to a form of godliness but denying the power. Relationship is the permission to be authentic before Him. When I say religion, many of us will be like, religion? No, I'm not religious. I'm not serving religion. And we need to ask those questions of us, y'all. We have got to ask those questions. How much of religion is really taking place in our life? And I will tell you, religion is ugly. It's ugly. How ugly is it? It was not the tax collectors and the hookers who were plotting to kill Jesus. How ugly is religion? There's something that we've got to know. There's things that we've got to know about how even the spirit realm operates, even dark and evil spirits. Do you realize that there were some spirits, they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Even when He started walking up, you wouldn't find those spirits anywhere near the temple, anywhere near the servants of the Lord. And in fact, when Jesus was just approaching, they would begin to call out, "Why are you tormenting us, Son of David?" Evil spirits. And yet there were religious spirits that had no problem being in the house, had no problem being around that culture. We've got to be wise. We've got to be wise. Be wise and shrewd as serpents, but gentle as doves. Religion is so ugly. Religion says, I've got to earn his favor, his love, his acceptance, his blessings. Relationship says, you're mine, so you already have it. Whew. Let that sit a minute. Because the truth is that we know us. We know our shortcomings. We know our flaws. We know where we miss it. And so there is this religious thinking and this religious mindset in the church that I constantly have to earn and work for these things. In order to have his favor, you know, my sons don't have to do anything just to have my favor and to have my life. Have to do. The very fact that they're mine, that they are ours, gets them all of that. It gets them the blessings. It gets them the ice cream. It gets them the Band-Aid. When they're hurt, it gets them the healing. Because they're mine. Because they're ours. Everything we just read is all about being sons and daughters of the living God. But something, religion wants to keep us in a place to where we're always disconnected, and he's some father far away. He's a absentee father. He's a disconnected father, a disinterested father who we've always got to get his attention, always going to have to earn it. And the thing is, we are not seeing the love and the passion and the pursuit with which he has sought us. The Father said of Jesus, before Jesus healed somebody, cast out a demon, before he went to the cross, Jesus humbled himself and he was baptized. And the heavens opened. Listen, sons and daughters. The heavens opened and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he didn't have all the accolades built up yet. He wasn't known as the man who raised Lazarus from the dead yet. He wasn't known as the man who cast out a legion of demons. He wasn't known as that man yet. But do you see the difference in how important it is for us to honor and to build the relationship with the Lord apart from religion? Because religion, I don't care how good and how disciplined the religion is, religion won't cause somebody to say in the midst of facing death and crucifixion, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That doesn't happen because he was religious. It happens because he was close to the Father. And he so much wanted to please the Father because he was loved, because he was accepted, because he was blessed, because the Lord, the Father, cared for him, loved him, because he walked with him. Listen to how Jesus talked. I only do what I see the Father do. I only do what I see. The Father shows me. The Father works, and I work also. Why? Because we're in this thing together. We're in relationship together. When religion is operating, you feel like a phony when you raise your hands. When relationship is operating, it's a mind switch, right? I switch my mind. I'm a son of God. And man, I have not gotten everything perfect, but God, by your grace, I will do everything that I can from this point because I want to do everything that I can to be close to you. Some people just try not to do the things that are wrong because they want to try not to do the things that are wrong. If your mind begins to switch, your heart begins to switch, then I want to do the things right because I want to stay as close to him as possible. And I don't want to do anything that will jeopardize that. It's a change. Religion's the worship of a lifeless form. Relationship is worship of the Father of life himself. The contrast between religion and relationship is what we can really contrast between our flesh and our spirit, because the reason why we like religion is because that appeals to the selfish nature, the flesh man, whereas relationship appeals to the spirit man. Secondly, there's no accountability when there's no relationship. It is inherent in relationship for there to be accountability. The first man and wife, accountability. I want us to look at one other passage, if you would. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Y'all got time for this? I got time for it. I love Jesus. Man. Luke 13, we're going to go 10 through 17, and I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard this time. Luke 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. That's Jesus. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. So sicknesses can be caused by evil spirits. Do you see that? And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." Praise God. "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Therefore, come during one of them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to go water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham," see the language again? There's daughter. There's daughter. He brings in the relationship into the picture. You're trying to operate in religion, son, and I'm saying here's a daughter here that needs a touch. It doesn't matter what day it is. It's time for this woman to be healed. "A daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond and of all days on the Sabbath?" And as he said this, all of his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. You know, even as I read this, I get pictures, and some of the things that makes me smile, some of the things that breaks my spirit is that I see the pictures of these things happening in this house. I see them coming to life. I see miracles upon miracles taking place. Deliverance. Radical deliverance. Look at the difference in this passage that is being contrasted between religion and relationship. Religion seeks to restrict us. Relationship seeks to release. This passage, I once had an entire message on this passage. It's one I remember. I don't remember all of them. I know that certainly people that are connected sometimes remember sermons. Well, there's a lot that I forget also. But here is one that I remember. I had a whole message on this called "The Stupid Pharisee." This guy who couldn't see what was right in front of him, and he was so interested in keeping the tradition and the religion that when life was in the midst, the very one of life was in the midst, couldn't even see it because I got to keep going on in the religion and the tradition that I've been formed in. That's how powerful religion can be. It can cause us to miss what is in our midst. And there's something that God began to speak to me. He began to show me because the thing is that, church, we can never be a people that builds or hangs our hat on what other ministries or what other churches or what other sects of Christianity, what they're missing. Did you get that? Sometimes we build our lives and we justify some of our actions, some of the things that we do, because we do what? We do the comparison thing. We do the comparison thing as believers. Well, I may not be doing this right, but they're definitely not doing that right, so I'm okay. And we will, when the religious mindset and the religious spirit has its way and has influence, as long as we do that. Because what ends up happening is then our allegiance and our loyalty is then to a style and a way of doing church rather than a way of following Jesus. And so we will center around what makes us different is the fact that we do church a little bit differently than the church down the road. And so therefore, and before you know it, that's where we're calling all of our allegiance and our loyalty to rather than the one who is leading this thing. Is this making sense? The difference between many mainstream churches in the American culture today is not really vision. It's not really core values. It's not a lot of biblical foundation. The main factor that most people are trying to decide on is style. It's preference. Style. The type of ministry. Instead of being focused on who we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to be as the body of Christ, who we're supposed to be as believers, instead of being focused on that, we're focused on how this thing is supposed to be run. So this guy, stupid Pharisee, he gets on to Jesus. Can you believe a guy who has the nerve, who just spoke a word, caused a woman who has been bent double for 18 years, a daughter of Abraham, who guess what, was at Sunday service every single Sunday, so the synagogue official knew exactly who she was, stands up, and this guy still says, hey, y'all come back another day of the week so you can get your healing then, because today's the Sabbath. And he says, and he has the nerve to say that. We've got to apply it to us. We got to flip it to us. Can we flip it? Say, flip it, Pastor. He said there are six other days. We would call that religious. It's just as religious in our circle to say that there is one day that you can be prayed for. There's just one day. You got to go to that Sunday, and you got to be prayed for here, and you got to go to that conference, and you definitely got to go to that person and all that. And I understand gifts. I understand the callings of God. I understand the ministries and the workings. But the thing is that we've pigeonholed Jesus into this form and into this shape, that this is the time and place. Just as much as that Pharisee, that synagogue official, was saying, here's the time frame, and this is how God operates, was 6 days. It's just as wrong for us to do the opposite. I know people who have been prayed for in an altar to receive the Holy Spirit, and on the outside didn't look like anything was happening until they were driving home in their car and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began to speak in tongues. They had to pull over to the side of the road because the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's His thing. God is a sovereign God. And the moment that we begin to submit ourselves and say, God, my life is your life, and whatever you want to do in that, however it looks, however it's shaped, that's up to you. How can the clay say to the potter, make me this way? No. He's the potter, I'm the clay. I just put myself on the wheel. Because unless we do, we might as well just go ahead and everybody bring their jewelry and we'll just form ourselves a calf. And then we'll blame the fire like Aaron did. It just came out this way. We don't realize how much of an event and an entertainment spirit has infected our church. And what ends up happening is we try to fix the behavior. If we can just fix the behavior. That's the religious side of things. Trying to fix the behavior first. Working on the behavior is trying to fix the thing from the outside in. And relationship is all about getting from the inside out. Jesus perceived the hearts of the people. The man, fleshly man, looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. It's the relationship thing. The relationship thing. I said this last week. God keeps speaking this to me. The outward appearance is things like a building. This building can't fix what's broken. A new building, as grateful as we are for this, and some of you in this room, you don't know this story, just ask someone a part of this house. They will gladly tell the story. I've told it so many times, we all pretty much know it verbatim, so you can just ask one of them. But a new building will lose its luster in a couple of months. It's already started to happen. How many in this room don't even need to ask where the nursery is anymore? You don't need to ask. Why? Because you know where it's at. A couple of months ago, we're still trying to figure it out. We don't know where the fellowship hall is, like that stuff. By now, we know where things are at. But the building is a form. Hollywood says, build it and they will come. That's a hogwash. Building can't fix what's broken. Building can't fix faithlessness. A building can't fix our lack of compassion. Building can't fix indifference. A building can't fix complacency. It's not if you build it, they will come. If you be it, they will come. Be comes before behavior. Who we are. Yeah, that's how the word's set up. Be who we are. Who we are meant to be, son, daughter. Who we are meant to be, because the being is where everything flows out. In him I live and I move and I have my being. In him. If the behavior is wrong, it's because there's something wrong with the be part. We say it this way, if we can just get people to be faithful to church and then, but that's entertainment and event driven in my opinion. Because then we put our efforts into making something attractive. Church attendance is not then driven by religious responsibility, nor should it be. It's driven by a relationship that is on fire. To pray because it's my religious responsibility, there's no life in it. Listen to this. I don't want you to miss this. Prayer. If all I do is view that as a religious responsibility, there is no life. No life. But if in my heart I transition to realize that that is the greatest conversation that I can have on the face of the planet. The greatest conversation I can have is with the Father, the Lord of all, the King of glory. That is the greatest conversation I can have, bar none, that's it. Then prayer starts to churn a little bit differently within us. Even as I'm talking, doesn't it change the perspective of how I view this thing? Because the first thing that we do typically is to talk to everybody else. Did you know it's his joy to talk to his kids? God never shuts his mouth. He is constantly talking. Constantly, 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 forever communicating signs and wonders. He's constantly speaking and showing things. I open my Bible, not just because it's my religious responsibility, but when I realize that this word is him, that I'm opening up to him and to his heart. It moves from religion, a religious requirement, to a relationship that I want to have. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, right? That's the Word is him. Y'all still with me? I got a couple other things. Page 18. If giving is a religious responsibility, it has no life to it. But if a relationship with Jesus is on fire, then giving is a byproduct of being in love with the giver. I give because he gives. Tell me one person who's ever had an authentic encounter with the Lord. Tell me if they've ever truly been the same. But we encounter religion so often, and we end up growing steadily worse. Remember, without encounter, Moses was less of a deliverer and more like a murderer. But one encounter with the Lord changed him and put him into a place where his purpose was being fulfilled. Here's what I want to do. I want to make a couple other comments, and then we're going to have the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do with this time. But the mindset in the church is something I want to see broken, because it's a systematic approach. It's impersonal and it's census driven. I've been in meetings, gone to conferences, that if you just have this program and do things just this way, you'll have success. It's a form. That form is the root word for formula. Some formulas are good. They're biblical. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will exalt you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I will heal their land. If you do this, you'll do this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. But a form or a formula that's meant to produce numerical results rather than produce success in the eyes of the king is selling ourselves immeasurably short. And it's not just selling ourselves short. In fact, it's manipulation to attain a godless outcome. And the Bible calls that witchcraft. It's manipulation. So we've put our efforts. Listen, if you don't get anything else here this morning, this is for the corporate vision and part of this house. So we've put our efforts into drawing a crowd rather than drawing near to him. As my pastor said one time, God spoke to him and corrected him on something, and the Lord said, you're sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. So we may be sincere, and that's what religion wants to keep us locked in, is this thinking that we're doing this, but Jesus, we're doing this for you. But Lord, we're doing this for you. Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we lay hands on them? Didn't we do all this? And what does he say? Depart from me, worker of lawlessness, of witchcraft, of manipulation. Why? Because there was not a knowing. There wasn't a knowing. There wasn't a knowing. There wasn't relationship that was formed enough. So we knew how to work the formula, but we had no idea who it was who birthed everything into existence, who brought it all together. The reason why there are crowds of disappointed people gathering all across America this morning is because they can't find the one that they've gathered for. Let that not be said of us. There's something in me that wants to prove the system wrong. I want to prove that a people in love with Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit is still enough to turn a community upside down for the kingdom. That a people who loves Jesus, come on, give glory to God. A people who love Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is enough to turn a community upside down. Who doesn't have to have all the programs right? Who doesn't have to have all the language just right? Just people who love God. The system would say, religion would say, you know what? You need to do whatever you got to do to fill this building. You got the building now. Look, there's space for people. You got to do what you got to do, all the things that you got to do to get this building filled. There are church leaders that will come in and tell you, you need to do this, 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 and this because you need to get this church building filled. Can I tell you that the goal of this church is to see how close we can get to Jesus? To see how close can we get to Jesus? Because I think that the closer that we can get to Him, the more the relationship moves from dysfunction to functioning in the way that He sees fit than all these other things. You know what closeness to Jesus fixes? It fixes evangelism. Closeness to Jesus fixes evangelism. Not your three-point witness program. Closeness to Jesus. Because I can tell you the hows, but if there's no relationship that we think is worth sharing with anybody else, it doesn't matter A, B, and C. It doesn't matter the form or the formula. If there's no relationship behind it that says Jesus has touched my life so much and He's changed me so much that that's what makes me. Relationship, the closer that we get to Jesus, that fixes missions. Fixes missions all day long. Fixes giving all day long. It fixes serving all day long. Damon Thompson would say it this way. I like the way he says it, but proximity fixes everything. Our closeness to Jesus. And the reason why we're not seeing some of the things that we want to see happen in this time, and I believe until we adopt a heart that says, Jesus, I want to be as close to You than I've ever been before, whatever it takes, however I need to walk, whatever I need to straighten up, whatever I need to give up, whatever I need to do to walk closer with the Lord of life, that's what I want to do, because that begins to fix all these other dysfunctions that we try to do. We want to fix it from the outside in. We want to fix the behavior first. And if we will let God fix the being who we are, we will see the outpouring, we'll see the revival, we'll see the renewal, we'll see all of that. You see, because we can't even put the word revival above our relationship. You want me to say it again? We can't even put revival above our relationship. I will gladly do so. I know people who want revival more than they want the relationship with Jesus, because they just want good church. They just want good church. And when will it then transfer from just having a good church service to where it goes out and actually becomes good life? It doesn't until relationship happens. I'm talking to a church. I know that there are many here. You have walked with the Lord for years. I know we're blessed to have a great mix in this congregation. Some of you have walked with the Lord. I've walked with the Lord for a long time. And I believe that there are times, I know there are times in my life where I have fell into the trap of a religious pattern that hasn't brought life. Anybody else have done that? We've all done it in some form or fashion. Some form or fashion, idolatry, some form. We've all done it. But there is a life that is available to us through relationship with Jesus Christ. If we will cast off the religious restraints, say yes to Jesus again and again, and then it becomes He's that relationship that gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with Him. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. My Lord, that is the heartbeat of a church that is on fire, of a church that is being moved by the Holy Spirit, of a church that has influence in a community, of a church that is moving and operating in the signs and the wonders and miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles cannot be above the relationship. It's got to flow out of the relationship. Faith comes by hearing, but guess what? It works by love, and love is a relational word. It works by love. I gotta stop. I got to stop. It will make all the difference. And here's where I'm at. God, if you want me to preach and minister on relationship until you come back, well, there's another relationship for you. A groom is coming back for his bride. Glory to God. I felt the Holy Spirit in that, didn't you? The groom is coming back for his bride, a relationship of love. And he said, I'm going to get the bride ready. He's going to do it. Come on and stand this morning. Let's lift our hands to the Lord, because I feel a worship. God has been saying a lot of things in this house this morning. Come on, before the musicians even play, before a singer can help you, come on and lift your voice unto the Lord this morning. Father, we honor you and we bless you. Hallelujah. God, we're standing because of relationship. Lord, our hands are lifted because of relationship. Our voices are lifted because of relationship. God, because you loved us enough to send your Son, Lord Jesus, and then you loved us enough to send us your Holy Spirit. Lord God, and you loved us enough to have availability and access to you 24/7, 365 days a year. Lord God, that you are ours. You are ours, and we are yours. That we are sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, do your work. Do your work. I know God is using some things. There's some things that have been spoken. He's speaking to your heart. He's moving on those things. He's growing those things already in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the seeds that are being planted in faith this morning. Lord, we pray they grow quickly, harvest in Jesus' name, for the time is short. Hallelujah, the time is short, the time is short, the time is short. God, and you're getting us right, you're getting us right, you're getting our minds right, you're getting our hearts right. Lord, judgment is beginning at the house of God. You're getting things straightened in the house, in the people of God, to do a work in the earth. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My goodness, my goodness. Come on, I don't even want you guys to play yet. I know that's a help. Come on, can you pray? Can you worship the Lord without the crutch this morning? Without the crutch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I will not be ashamed to lift my voice unto you, but Father, I will cry out to you. Lord, in the midst of your sanctuary. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. There may be somebody in this room, you may not be physically bent double, but in your spirit, you might as well be bent double. In your spirit, you might as well be bent double. You might as well be handicapped and physically and spiritually unable. But Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you come to straighten us up. You've come to straighten us up. Be healed in Jesus' name. Son, daughter, you are freed from this spiritual sickness in Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, it's a spiritual thing that's happening. I need prayers in the room. I need intercessors in the room. Come on and begin to call up out upon the Lord. Call out upon the Lord. Y'all are doing great. No playing yet. No playing just yet. Father, in Jesus' name, we're making our desperation known. We're making our hunger known that, God, we want a relationship with you like we've never had before. Lord, forgive us for buying into religious form. Forgive us for buying into a systematic approach that has no life to it. That has taken every bit of fire out of us. Father, I thank you for the fire that's being restored even this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fire that is being restored. The fire that is being restored. The fire of relationship. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Lord, we cast off, Lord, our religious thoughts, Lord, of how this thing should look. How look that we can do church so well. Father, we just humble ourselves. We just humble ourselves, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, refight the religious thing. Get rid of it. Just let it go. Just let it go. Religion would say, this is not how it's supposed to look. This is not how it's supposed to sound. We cast down every high and lofty thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we cast down every thought and every intention that even has an air about it that says we know better. That even has an air about it that says we know better. That we've got this figured out. Lord, I pray awareness across this room. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Awareness of our lack, how deficient that we are apart from you, that we have nothing apart from you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We can accomplish nothing. There's nothing worthy of credit and honor apart from you. Lord Jesus, we pray that the cries of desperation would raise out of this house like never before. God, we're hungry for you. We're desperate for you. We're praying to you, Lord God. Do something mighty and wonderful in this time. But Father, we humble ourselves first. We throw ourselves at the mercies of the Lord, that God, you would move. Change us. Change us. Change us. Change us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.